This is Watch the Media from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in the College of Journalism and Mass Communications and the studios of 90.3 FM KRNU. I'm John Schrader, and welcome to the program and a very special treat this time around. Two of our young, ambitious, and very talented alums of our College of Journalism. I'm going to introduce them alphabetically because I'm not really sure who should get the first shot here, but I'll introduce you alphabetically. Jake Bartecki, a Chicago native, is the sports director at KWBE Radio in Beatrice and news and sports reporter for News Channel Nebraska. Kaylin Deben works on the morning show, US 92, the country station in Norfolk. He's a native of Shenandoah, Iowa. Also does work on News Channel Nebraska. Both of those radio stations are part of the Flood Communication Empire, and the News Channel Nebraska is as well. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, John.
Excited to see you again.
So you guys are doing radio and television, and I'm going to dig into that as much as I can and get an idea of what it is you do. But could you have imagined what you both graduated in the spring of 21? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is.
So let's start with you, Jake. Could you have imagined how much you've done, maybe how much you've learned in the year and a half since you, well, less than year and a half since you graduated from college?
Oh, man. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, somebody asked me what I do, you know, for a job. And I list off things that, you know, are four or five jobs, because as you said, I'm the KWBE sports director. I'm a TV news and sports reporter, and I cover, you know, just a plethora of things for TV, from things at the Nebraska Game and Parks Association to politics, to court cases, to local events. And then obviously with, you know, KWBE announcing all the Beatrice games, and also on top of that, doing, you know, daily sports reports every hour. I mean, I've gotten to be so well-versed in journalism. I think the, you know, that's going to help me long-term wherever I end up. And I feel like the College of Journalism kind of got me ready to take on all these roles at once. I don't think I would have been able to take them all on at the same time if it wasn't for kind of some of the rigors that I went through in college.
So Kaylin, how about you?
Yeah, it's like Jake said, it's kind of a job where you do everything at once. And something that the College of Journalism at Nebraska definitely helped me out with too. I was an ambassador at Nebraska. So I remember one thing that Alex Fernando and we would always say is do from day one and you're going to do five different things at once. And that's exactly what I've been doing here. You know, morning show, we usually wake up around 4:45 a.m. to get up and get on the air at 6, get things kind of ready. A lot of times we know what we're going to talk about for the most part for the day, from the day prior to the next day, and just kind of set that up. Have our different breaks set up, whether it's station material or random material that we like to get different callers invested in. And then throughout the rest of the day, it's a lot of engagement, a lot of ad producing and recording. I cut a lot of different ads, record a lot of ads for different businesses and places. And then we'll go out to different places, whether it's a county fair. Yesterday, we had Mimosa Fest in Norfolk. I was down there for about 16 hours for the entire day. It was a busy one, but it was a fun one. That's kind of what a lot of this is about, being a personality in Norfolk, is the one thing that I was told when I first got here is make it so if you ran for mayor, you would win in a landslide. And so that's kind of what we've been trying to do, is just get out, meet a lot of people, be involved in the community. And then when I'm not doing that, it's all up to sports. Lots of games coming up soon. So that's TV on News Channel Nebraska. That's where I probably do most of my sports time. And then I split games on 94 Rock when it comes to radio. So US 92 is more of a news and country station. 94 Rock's our sports station. They're also in our building. So that's where I get to do all my radio sports games.
Okay, I'm going to follow up a question here that Jake and I both have. You spent 16 hours at a Mimosa Fest? All right, you must explain to us what in the world that is. Yeah.
So Mimosa Fest, it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It's mimosas all day long in Norfolk, Nebraska, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. This was an event that happened last year, but with the rebranding of our company and of our station here up in Norfolk, US 92, we wanted to start becoming our own entity in the fact that we want to start putting on our own events. So Mimosa Fest was put on by businesses last year, and we said, hey, we want to take this from you guys, and we want to make it even bigger and better. You guys can still help out. We'd love for you to help out, but we want to kind of take our reins on it and see how we can do with that. So we did that, and that's what we did with Mimosa Fest yesterday. So we partnered up with a ton of different businesses. It's like a giant block party, basically, with mimosas everywhere. We had craft beer from David's Brewery in Norfolk, Odell Brewing Company in Fort Collins, Colorado, among with a bunch of other ones. There's bounce houses, food trucks. I mean, it was fun. And live music for 12 hours. Different bands came in. And this is going on a tangent, but we have a thing called Green Light Great Night here in Norfolk, which is live music. So whenever there's live music, we've installed different green lights throughout different bars and restaurants. If they've got live music inside, that green light's going to be turning on. So when you're driving down Norfolk Avenue, you know there's a party going on District Table and Tap because they've got the green light on. There's some live music. So that's one of our big projects we've been doing right as soon as I got here in Norfolk.
Okay, every one of your professors would be proud of you. You dropped in several commercial mentions there. You dropped in a number of sponsors there. Congratulations. Okay, your move in the chess game, Jake, what's your equivalent to Mimosa Fest?
My equivalent to Mimosa Fest? I don't think I've done anything quite similar to Mimosa Fest. I mean, gotta give credit to Caitlin there. That's a pretty good idea. Yeah, you know, I mean, in terms of kind of community engagement and everything, it's really cool. You know, I think people are starting to get to know me here. I think I've done my best to really be active on social media, get to know the players, get to know the players' parents and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I have some signature calls and people will come up to me on the street and say that they heard my signature call and or say it to me. And that always makes me smile. You know, it's kind of, as Caitlin kind of mentioned, it's a good way to put it. You know, you kind of want to be you want people to think if you were going to run for mayor that they would vote for you in a landslide. That's a good way to put it. It's a little different, you know, with sports. But but that's been one of my things is trying to get invested in the community as best I can, get to know, like I said, the players and their parents. And it just kind of creates a good bond between the radio station and the whole town.
Feist holds the ball above his head. Now he swings it back to the top of the key to Crawford. 5 seconds to play. Juergens in the lane, pulls up, left wing, kicks it out to Crawford. With the horn, bang! Shelton Crawford needed that. He stood right where he loves to shoot that three. It's just the second made triple of the night for Beatrice, and it makes it a four-point game heading to the fourth. 34-30, the Orangemen lead. 24 minutes down, 8 to go. This is Beatrice basketball.
Okay, both of you, I want to respond to this. You sort of have already, but did you have any idea the role that radio plays in the lives of, I'll say, small town? Beatrice is not small, although it's smaller than Norfolk, but the role that radio plays in the lives of the average citizen in a town like Beatrice, in a town like Norfolk, and the surrounding communities, of course, because it isn't just those cities or towns. And either one of you can take that first, but I'd like you both to check in on that answer.
I feel like, and I mean, I'm curious what Caitlin says for what Northeast Nebraska is like, but I know in Southeast Nebraska, there's a difference about of what people, which station they tune in. So we, like Caitlin said, he's got US 92 and 94 Rock. Down here, we've got KWBE and Old Red 99.5. Old Red's in Fairbury, KWBE's in Beatrice. And KWBE is an AM and an FM station. And the reason it was primarily an AM station was because people would listen to it to hear Doug Kennedy and Dave Diedfeldt, our program director and news director, do news. And they went on FM once they started getting more music. So I've kind of realized that for news, people will listen to KWBE because they know that hourly they're going to get news at the top of each hour from Doug Kennedy. They're going to get a Fox News or ABC News update, whichever one they use. And they're also during the midday going to get 5 news updates because they just, you know, continually do it. Brownfield, national headlines, and then our local news as well. People listen to Old Red if they want to listen to some country music. And that's because they don't do news as frequently. It's just, it's a difference between what the people want to listen to. Do you want to listen to music? All right, well, you're going to put on 94.7 with KWBE because that's where, you know, FM's music. Or you're going to listen to Old Red 99.5. If you're going to want to hear news, you're going to almost always probably catch people listening to Queeby.
Yeah, and when I first moved to Norfolk, I'm not going to lie, I severely underestimated the power of radio. I really did. And I mean, people listen to the radio, but with things changing a lot now, you know, my age, it's the kind of Spotify, Apple Music, that kind of stuff. If you don't want to hear a DJ, you're going to plug in your own playlist and start listening to some random music. But for me, you know, I don't have an aux cord in my car, so I always listen to the radio. I always did, and I always have, and now I probably always will. But it's strange, and like Jake said, yeah, 94 Rock is more of our edgier sports station. It's the hard music. You're gonna have a lot more men more so listening to it, while US 92 is your news, kind of family friendly. Your mom and your daughter is gonna be listening to it on the way in your car, and so we kind of have that more joyful, happier energy in the morning. We're pretty fun. We try to be funny and have these really weird questions to each other that people can chime in on and be like, oh, that reminds me of back when I was in high school or back when I was in, in college. So I know a lot of our demographics probably more of 40 to 60 in that range for the most part. I don't have a super young demographic yet. We're kind of trying to get to that with our social media posts and that Ryan, my co-host, and I are a little bit younger. But for the impacts of the community, Norfolk has a ton of different radio stations. So we've got 92 and 94 Rock, which are in one building. But we've also got the 106 Kicks, WJAG. There's another classic rock station. Not to mention, there's a radio station in O'Neill. There's one in Ainsworth. There's one in Columbus. There's one in West Point. So we kind of have to fight for the territory. And a lot of the times for me, and from what I notice is, I mean, there's a lot of people in Norfolk who listen to us, but the smaller communities are always impacted more. For example, Albion, Nebraska, that's where our transmitter's at. Whenever we go to Albion, people go nuts. They love US 92 up in Albion. In Pierce, Nebraska, in Battle Creek, everybody knows who we are. Norfolk's a little bit bigger. They've got so many radio stations that if I say, hey, I'm Kalen from US 92, and someone says, I've never even heard of US 92, you're like, oh, well, okay, well, I'll tell you who we are. That kind of thing. It's not as tight knit, I would say, as some of the other smaller communities around us.
Yeah, and that's going off of what Kalen said. We have run into that in Southeast Nebraska as well. Old Red, for whatever reason, is super popular in Hanover, Kansas, which is, I mean, I don't exactly know how far I want to say it's about 30 minutes away from Fairbury. But for whatever reason, the people down there live and breathe listening to the morning show on Old Red 99.5. And that's another thing is, you know, Old Red 99.5 does a big morning show that's kind of more fun and goofy. And people listen to that if they want to, you know, kind of start with a laugh to the day. KWBE, Dave does the morning show with some contests, but there's a lot, it's more news heavy. But for whatever reason, there's towns down in Kansas love listening to Old Red.
Of course, a good Chicago kid would say 30 minutes away. You have no idea how many miles it is. Most people around here know exactly how many miles it is from one town to another, but you know how long it takes to get there. There you go.
I know how long it takes. That's the important thing, unless you're talking about fuel or something, maybe.
That is the important thing. Jake Bartecki, Kalen Debbin, radio guys in Nebraska with us. I'm John Schrader, and this is Watch the Media.
To the right, Osten on the right wing, trying to drive inside, kicks it back out. Just 7-6, here's a three, it's good! It's good! You are kidding me! Josie Bentz lighting it up from beyond the arc for the lead!
So how much did you guys know about the business of the radio business before you started, and has it been a real learning experience getting that knowledge?
Kalen, I'll let you take that one first.
Yeah, it's been huge because I mean, in college you can only learn so much. You're not necessarily in the industry. You can learn a lot about what you're doing and that kind of thing, but I never really learned how to be a morning show host or personality or how to run Next Gen incredibly well or the board at an actual station. It's a lot different. Whenever you get into it, you're like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. And I'll never forget my first time ever running the board and being live on the air in the industry was I was training out in Sydney, Nebraska. So that's where one of our stations is. There's a morning show host out there for what is now 98.7 The Big Boy. It's a country station out in Sydney. So I trained out there for about 3 weeks with the morning show host Hunter out there. And he's a very personable guy. Everyone loves him in Sydney, Nebraska, a very tight-knit community. And I remember the system was starting to crash on my second day of work. And he's like, Kalen, you're going to have to go live and run the board. And I was like, I've never done this before in my life. And he's like, this is how you learn. You got to get thrown into the fire. And he just left. And I was like, what do I do now? And so that's kind of how I did it. And it was horrifying, but it was a great learning experience. You know, you learn ads. One thing that I never really learned in college was ad reads. Never had to read ads for weather sponsors, for sports sponsors. Hey, this, you know, this the third quarter bucket is brought to you by Lammer's Trailer Repair. I've never thought about that before. Or when you're doing TV reads, you know, the pop-up that comes up on the screen, a little pop-up. I've never done that in college, so coming here was a little bit different. We got to cut some ads in college, so I knew a little bit about that. But again, the main thing is just the industry, learning about how sales works, that too, and then going out on remotes, recording different things with other clients. So there's a big world out there that you really learn once you actually hit the industry.
Yeah, I agree with being thrown into the fire. I mean, because that happened with me too. It happened a little bit more with TV. I got some really good training from Michael Shively on TV news. But, you know, after maybe a couple hours of training, he had me go out and shoot some footage. And of course, I was nervous because I had never really, you know, I did not really do much TV news when I was in college. I was a sports guy, a play-by-play guy. And so, of course, it was just basic B-roll, which I could do any day now. But, you know, that kind of got me ready to do TV within a week. Like I was able to then go out and start doing stories and figuring out what are good stories and whatnot. So I feel like that is always hard at first, but it helps out in the end.
What do you guys think is the greatest asset you brought into this, considering the fact that there's so much about radio you didn't know when you started working in it? Do you understand the question? You know, what is the core of what makes you able to do your job and to do it well?
I think it's passion probably for what you're doing and for the industry. I mean, you know, the biggest part of my job and the time that I spend, you know, what I think I put the most effort into and probably, you know, if I counted the hours, put the most time into is play-by-play. And that's just something that comes very natural to me. And I like doing the prep work. I like making the charts. I like doing the notes. I like doing the pregame, you know, interviews. That comes very natural to me. I find it very fun. And, you know, to say for my job, I get to be on the radio and have a ton of people listen to me, you know, call a game or, you know, with my sports reports, I get to talk for 5 minutes about whatever I want in sports for the radio station. That's, you know, it's hard to say that that's really work. That's a lot of fun stuff. So for me, I think it's all about doing what I love.
Yeah. Passion and drive is incredibly important. I think for me specifically though, I'm going to have to say personality and likability, because if you are not likable on the air and you don't have a personality that people can relate to and listen to, they're not going to listen to you. You could be the best broadcaster. You could have the deepest voice, the greatest, most smooth voice in the world. And if you are a jerk or don't try to relate or be nice or friendly with other listeners, no one's going to listen to you because that takes away all of that connection. If I'm a complete jerk on the air, no one's going to say, oh, I love listening to Kalen in the morning because he berates me. No, they want to listen to a guy who can sometimes make fun of himself or try to be friendly and nice to others. Say, hey, I'm so excited, looking forward to meet you guys later today. Or even when it comes to calling a game, like Jake said, you know, you got to be likable when it comes to listening to you.
Specific question for you now, Kalen. How do you prepare and what are the challenges of being interesting 3 or 4 days a week, 5 days a week, live on the radio?
It can be hard. It really can be, because sometimes you are running dry on content. You don't know what the heck to talk about. And you just, sometimes you just have to think of something. And whether that's scouring the internet or different prep sites for something that's just somewhat going to be somewhat funny, and trying to build off of that, creating a story, thinking of something, or going on social media nowadays. A lot of times I'll find a social media post that I think is funny, and you got to try to build that into a story to where listeners, again, can relate to you and think about that. And being personable is something that is sometimes natural, but can also be grown through experience. I feel like I was always a decent personality in college, but actually getting on the mic and learning it at the next level in the actual industry has helped my broadcasting voice and has helped my personality a ton. And it's been so cool to listen back to, you know, when I first started at US 92 and back to some college experiences to how I sound now on the air and how I can talk to others and how much you actually grow through the real life experience.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that in a couple of minutes, because you need to save the audio from the first day you were on the radio. And in a year, then 2 years, and then 3 years down the road, you check and listen to it and say, who in the hell is that guy? Where did he come from? But we're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But Jake, yours is a little different. You're not doing 3 or 4 hours of radio every day, but you do have to make a real connection with the people in Beatrice. If that doesn't work, doing the boys' games and the girls' games on the radio isn't going to work. So how do you make it happen?
Well, it's sort of like I said. I mean, you got to be active in more ways than just on the radio. You got to also be active on social media. That's a big thing is, you know, when I do a big game, you know, if it's the beginning of the season, a playoff game, I almost always do a TV preview story. And that is a good way for me to put some of those quotes that the athletes say out on social media. That's a way for the parents, the athletes, to see that they've got somebody covering them, for one. And it's also kind of almost like a plug for the game, because, I mean, you don't even have to say that, okay, you can catch the game on 94.7 FM KWBE. You can, but they're also going to realize, oh, that's the announcer. He's going out and doing this quote thing, you know, getting quotes and doing TV stories. We should really listen to the game. On top of that, it's also about kind of as much as you can when there's other things on the radio mentioning that there's a game coming up. That's big because, a lot of the community outside of the parents and the athletes listen. So they just, maybe they had kids that went there. Maybe they just love the town sports. They're going to listen. And a lot of times for older people, they don't have the access to the internet to look up when games are. So the power of saying that on other forms of radio, you know, if it's at the end of a news update, if it's at the end of, you know, a voice tracking session, saying there's a game, it's a good way to get people reminded to come back.
So what is the social media of choice? How do you reach your audiences, Kalen and then Jake?
So for me, it's a little bit different because I would like to use Twitter and Instagram, especially Twitter for sports. But when it comes to our demographics, Facebook's the way to go. Always, always, always use Facebook, whether that's doing Facebook Lives, because a lot of people will just tune in and watch for a little bit just to see what's happening, post a bunch of different stories, our questions of the day, giveaways, concert tickets. Always on Facebook. That's the best traction we get.
For me, it'd almost always be Twitter, because that's just, I think, the fastest way to get sports news out there. I do have a Jake Bartecki NCN Facebook account that I use a bit. It's more when I do a really good news story that I want people to see, I'll throw that on there. What I also do with that account, though, is I started this thing called Welcome to the Broadcast Booth. And I take a couple of pictures of the arena, the spot board, put it out there, and I say, Welcome to the Broadcast Booth. Looking, you know, here's our, you know, view of Grand Island Northwest High School, where in 30 minutes, Beatrice will tip off with the Vikings. And then I'll, you know, say a fact about the game and then plug whenever the game starts. That has been a good way to build listener habits. And I put that on the NCN page too, because we have a lot of people on Facebook, like I said, going back to that older demographic, that aren't on Twitter and they want to watch the game, but if they're on social media, they'll likely see it from my Facebook and then they'll know. It's also just a good way that the community kind of knows I'm there and knows that KWBE is there. So I feel like that's been huge in building listener habits. And I can use that kind of on Facebook and Twitter. You know, Kalen mentioned Instagram. Instagram is one that I have not found to be huge for radio. I don't know why that is. Maybe Maybe it's kind of the way the company radio stations have operated and the people they have. Maybe it's just not a thing, but I don't think it would probably be very successful. I just feel like that's also going back to the age thing. I mean, there's an older demographic in Nebraska, and I don't know how many of them are on Instagram.
Good evening and welcome into the NCN Sports Studio as we take a quick break from news and you're ready for a wonderful night of Nebraska high school hoops. I'm Kalen Devin with you in the studio tonight while our broadcast team is in Omaha at Millard North High School for a clash between the Abraham Lincoln Lynx and the Millard North Mustangs. Both teams this season have just one loss. For the Lynx, they're 6-1 with their last loss coming from one of the top teams in the state, Bellevue West, on Tuesday. If Abraham Lincoln wants to find some success tonight, they'll need to score early and often to keep up with Millard North's high-powered offense. Look for Jackson Jones as a three-point threat tonight and Ian Duffy to be a big paint presence for the Lynx.
Johnny owns Jet Racing, building IMCA race cars in Beatrice. Through the years of watching his dad operate the shop and now 6 years of racing against him, Jackson's learned a few things along the way.
He has definitely taught me the majority of what I know. I've learned a few things from some other people, some late model guys and whatnot, but he's definitely the main reason I know what I know now.
After years of racing against one another in the IMCA Modifieds, Jackson has begun to take on additional roles, such as unloading cars at racetracks, making adjustments, and even driving the hauler on his own to races outside of Beatrice.
He's Jake Bartecki, the sports director at KWBE in Beatrice, Nebraska. Also works news and sports on News Channel Nebraska. And Kalen Deben is the morning host, co-host of US 92 in Norfolk, Nebraska. Also works at News Channel Nebraska as well, which is part of, both stations are part of the Flood Communications Empire here in Nebraska. I'm John Schrader, and this is Watch the Media. So you guys, you do television and radio. Give us a little bit of an idea of how, well, radio might be, I don't know, your primary gig. How different has it been doing television? And you've alluded to it a little bit, Jake, because of the news reporting you have to do. Mm-hmm. But how different, and I'll go to Kalen, then I'll go back to Jake here. How different is it? What you have to do on television as a in relationship to or contrasting to what you do on the radio?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. Radio, you always have to be more descriptive. You have to have more words, essentially, and have to find a way to slow down the game in your own words, because in TV, everybody can watch. So you have to provide a lot more, maybe more insight, color on the game. It's more of a colors game because that's where you have to provide storylines, that kind of thing. Radio's all about being descriptive and talking about it. And you don't have to call every single part of the game in radio either. If you're watching a basketball game and there are 1,000 things happening within 4 seconds, find a way to slow things down a little bit. Nobody can actually see what's happening, so you just have to slow it down. What's going to be the best way for the listener to hear this and try to picture the game in their mind? But again, I do a lot more TV, I would say. That's kind of what I've been doing, especially for football. It's just kind of what my role has been, whether that's doing sideline reporting or it's a really cool way to see the field and be visual about it. But frankly, it is a little bit easier because you don't have to be as descriptive and just can provide a little bit more fun with a radio or with a foot or with a TV broadcast, as you can, you know, you and your color guy can kind of banter a little bit and talk about the storylines of the game.
Yeah, Kalen kind of nailed it by saying, you know, with football and basketball on TV, you know, everybody can see what's happening, and that's where you got to provide the storylines. And with radio, yeah, he said it. It's all about kind of painting a picture. What words can I, you know, use that are going to add to the broadcast? And, you know, with all the notes you do and all the nuggets, figuring out the right times to drop those in. That's easier on TV because everybody can see what's going on. With radio, you kind of have to be discretionary about when you do those. When it comes to reporting, I think it's much easier to do radio news reporting because there's less editing, there's less setting up a camera, there's less getting B-roll and all that. And I've done more TV of that side of things. You know, one thing I will commend NCN for is the way they use a radio and a TV story in just a number of forms. You know, so if somebody writes a web story, you know, just about a car crash, it's a pretty good chance that that is going to be on social media, on TV, and on radio. You know, and same thing goes with a package. People are going to play those in their radio news reports. It's, you know, it's a really good way of getting the most out of everything you can do. You know, and here's another example. So if I go out and shoot a package, it's likely going to go on social media. It's going to be on our website. It's going to be played on TV. Somebody's going to pick it up and put it in their news report. It's flooding everything we can with as much content as we can. And I'm sure Kalen would agree that that's a really good use of materials and content.
Yeah, being able to use everything for pretty much everything and have a lot of different outlets. That's what News Channel Nebraska is really good about doing, is having all these outlets that anybody can check out different stories, whether it's via radio or TV or social media. There's a lot of times where we will take things directly from TV and put them on the radio, or if there's different games going on. I know, unfortunately, there was something that happened in Laurel, Nebraska, here in Northeast Nebraska. There was a quadruple homicide that happened a few weeks ago. We had the press conference straight from News Channel Nebraska into our radio, so people were listening and hearing the NCN broadcast on US 92.
So at the risk of asking a question for which I'm not sure the answer will come, but I want you guys to be very, very honest with me. Were you guys well enough prepared coming out of college to do what you're doing? And what could you have or should you have known before you started working in the profession that you had to learn almost on day one?
I think, you know, for me, I was absolutely well prepared enough. And I kind of mentioned that earlier on in the conversation. I came out of UNL's journalism school ready to take on all this stuff at once. You know, as far as things I probably could have done more of, it, you know, doing some news stories in college helped. Yeah. But at the same time, it wasn't really what I was there to do. You know, I double majored in broadcasting and sports media, and play by play, as John and Kayla know, is kind of my haunt. And so that was kind of what I focused my time on. Would it have helped me if I was doing more stories in college? Sure, obviously it would. But at the same time, I don't think I would have picked that up as quick if I hadn't gotten a lot of good teaching from the College of Journalism at Nebraska. You know, and as far as things that I kind of was surprised by, I mean, you always are told that games and it's nights and weekends. And that was hard to adjust to, you know, and it was hard to adjust to a schedule where I might be able to sleep a little later, but that's because I'm going to be up till midnight or 1 o'clock, either at a game or doing a sports report. There were some schedule changes that took place, but overall, yeah, I think I was very well prepared.
The way that I'll describe it is if you are an MLB prospect, you have this raw talent and an ability to learn your utility player, and you get drafted into the league, you don't really know what you're going to be doing or where you're going to be going, but you know that you have all the tools to be an excellent person in the field. That's what Nebraska did for, I think, Jake and I both, because they gave us all these abilities. Whether, you know, when I first was looking for jobs, I wanted to be a sports reporter, kind of like Jake's doing right now in Beatrice. I was going to go and shoot different stories, do my own packs, that kind of thing. And then this thing came up with being a personality and a morning show host and doing sports reporting. And at the same time, I feel like if I was working at a university, being an SID, that I feel like I could do all of that successfully. And that's all because of Nebraska and the different things, the different outlets that they give you, that you can do so many different things and do so well at so many different things, including social media too, because that's a really big thing right now. But yeah, I feel like I was very well prepared. If there was anything that I had to maybe learn a little bit more, I think the schedule is good, because you know that you might be working nights and weekends, but yeah, there are times, like I said, when you work a 16-hour mimosa fest and or you're calling a game late Sunday night and have a remote on Monday, and you have to get up at 4:45 and then have another game on Monday night, and it can be a grind. It really can be. There's some weeks that you might work 50, 60 hours, but then there are other weeks where you do your show and you're like, oh, I don't have anything to do today. I can go home at 1 o'clock and hang out. And that's, you know, yeah, take a little nap or go work out at the YMCA or something like that.
Yeah. And when it comes to the Nebraska Journalism School, and this isn't just me being an alum spokesman, when a couple of weeks ago, I talked to a group of high school kids that were, you know, interested in broadcasting. And I recommended Nebraska because I told them all the things I did and they were stunned. They loved that I got to do games. And, you know, I told them you kind of had to be ambitious and you had to advocate for yourself. But if you do that, the University of Nebraska is going to give you a lot of opportunities. And that's, again, that's not me being a spokesman. That's really, really how I feel. And I looked at, as I'm sure Kalen did, I looked at a lot of really good schools for college for broadcasting. I did Arizona State, Illinois, Maryland, Ball State. You know, those are some good sports media programs there. And I don't think I would have gotten better or even as good as what I got at Nebraska.
Jake, I should have had a lot of options. I went to one college visit at the University of Nebraska Lincoln and knew I was going there.
Well, that's funny you said that because Nebraska took me. That was my first visit too.
Wow. Well, I should let the listener and the viewer know here that these guys are talking about working so many hours and getting up in the middle of the night and going to the radio. We're recording this conversation on a Sunday morning. And Kalen's been good enough to go into the radio station to put his face in front of a microphone and do this. So we appreciate it very much. Kalen Deben of US 92 in Norfolk and Jake Bartecki of KWBE in Beatrice, both members of the News Channel Nebraska family as well. I'm John Schrader, and this is Watch the Media. It's always a pleasure to chat with young people who have gone through our program or anybody else's program, frankly. I'm one who believes in what we're doing at our university. And I'm one also who believes that, you know, we'd love to get ideas about how we could do it better. But I'm also one who believes that people who go to Arizona State or Ball State or DePaul or USC or wherever, any place you can pick out, we want them to do really well too. We want them to do to help make this new generation, the next generation of broadcasters, as good as they can be. Now, that isn't an entree to a question. That's just a comment. Here's the question for you, gentlemen. I don't know how long ago, you guys know this story. When I was 10 or 11 years old, I'm sitting at home in Neely, Nebraska, thinking I want to be I want to do something. I want to be a writer or a broadcaster. I put microphones. I mean, I put like, you know, towels taped up in front of me and pretended like I was broadcasting the games. I mean, whatever, a spoon or a knife or something, whatever I could do to broadcast. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. And it turned out to be, yes, everything I had hoped. I don't know how long you guys have been interested in this, but is it what you had hoped when you were 10 or 12 or 15 or 18 or whenever you decided to go into this line of work?
Well, I think when I was 10 or 11 or 12, I pictured myself being the announcer for the White Sox or for NASCAR or something, which obviously is unrealistic coming right out of college. But in terms of the fun that you have, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, like I said earlier, it's hard to really say it's work when, you know, you get to talk about sports on the radio for 5-10 minutes every couple hours and call games and get, you know, kind of be a little bit of a, I don't want to say a celebrity, but a public figure in these towns. It's really cool. And I love it. I'm sure Kalen does too. This industry just is fun. And that's something, John, you've told me is radio's fun. This, what we do is fun. I get to talk, people some reason want to listen. It's I'm glad I came up with this idea that I wanted to do this when I was young, because it's hard to imagine another job being more fun than this.
Yeah. And when I was younger, I had a lot of different jobs that I wanted to do. I wanted to play football at Nebraska. And then you realize that sometimes you're not good enough and you have to find something else to do. And one of the things that, so my mom worked in radio, and when I was younger and when I got into sports, I would find different compilations of videos from Nebraska's football history. I had memorized these commentators in this YouTube video with this 6-minute long clip of just broadcasters saying, "Oh, touchdown Nebraska." And I'd memorize this entire thing, and I was like, I want to do that when I get older. And then you realize, well, you actually can do that. And then when you get into it, you know, there's a lot of places that you can go, and there will be there, like Jake said, you know, you're not going to become the broadcaster of the White Sox right out of college, but you can get there with a drive and with an intensity. You can absolutely get there. You can do anything that you want to. And as much as the university is going to try to train you to do that, a lot of it has to be with the person. Do you want to go that far? Do you want to take it that far? You can go as far as you want to. And that's with building connections. That's just with getting better and putting yourself out there, not trying to stay stagnant and stay home because you can say, oh, I'm comfortable where I'm at. Well, if you want to try to get to that next step, do it. Because you can do it. If you've got the drive and the success and the talent, you can absolutely get as far as you want to go. And another thing for young radio broadcasters, don't get burnt out. You're going to work a lot. You're going to work a lot of hours. And if you really want to be in the industry, you have to love it. And you will know that you love it because even when you get burned out, you're still going to wake up at 4:45 on a Monday morning and go to work.
After you've done 16 hours of Mimosa Fest on Saturday.
Yeah, Caleb, how many mimosas did you have?
That is undisclosed information.
That's proprietary information.
Did the show sound good?
A need-to-know basis.
Did the show still sound good?
Well, I didn't do anything this morning, but tomorrow it's going to sound great.
So gentlemen, mimosas or otherwise, you've talked about what's next. I know both of you enjoy your work and you like what you're doing where you are. But I'll also, and this isn't pandering, this is honest, that you both are considerably talented, and this is the beginning. And so what's next? What do you want to do next, short of NASCAR and the White Sox? But what do you want to do next? And where do you think next could be or should be?
It's hard to say. You know, I mean, I started with a 2-year deal. I began the second year of my 2-year contract in June. So I think I would love to work in NASCAR. I mean, that's the sport that I love the most. I have come to learn that's really hard to get into that industry. So it's going to take a lot of work and it would take a little bit of risk. So that's it. And, you know, on top of that, I love play-by-play and I think I'm really good at it. And so I've kind of explored what I could do to get into play-by-play more. I've heard some people say to go to MLB winter meetings and go meet with some teams and find out who needs a broadcaster for a year. I've heard to reach out to ESPN and see if you could start doing small games there. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, NASCAR would be great. Play-by-play would be great, but there's a lot that it's a lot that'll be figured out in the next few months for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of pathways. And so I've got a 3-year contract here. So I'm in year number 2 right now. And a lot of that's because they don't want to keep replacing morning show personalities over and over again every year or two. So I'm locked down for 3 years, but yeah, like Jake said, it's stepping stones. It's your first job out of college. And then I'm always looking, I always look at different things just for fun, just to see what kind of opportunities there are out there. If there are guys that I know that get jobs where I know I might want to be at in the future, I'll reach out and have a conversation with them. I talked with a guy a couple weeks ago who is living in Louisville, Kentucky, who is working for Bellarmine University. They're part of the ASUN conference, and he is now an SID for them and gets to call their own games, mainly because he applied to be an SID and then said, hey, do you guys have a broadcaster for these sports? And they said, no. He said, can I do that for you? And they said, sure, why not? So whether it's something like that, I think I would definitely love to be a broadcaster for a team or a university sometime in the future, whether that's a small lower level like, you know, D3, NAIA, D2. Obviously, it is a little risky, probably going to be taking a pay cut, but it's worth it to get that key experience and then to crawl up the ranks to maybe someday be the voice of a Division I university or to move on to TV like a Kevin Kugler or a guy like that where you can do voices for different programs, maybe be a radio show personality for a sports station and get to call games. I don't know what it holds, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and John, you always told us in college, if you want to do play-by-play, you got to go where you can do play-by-play. And I took that to heart when you said that. I think we were talking about a former J school student who was announcing NAIA, and you looked to me and said, well, you want to do play-by-play, you got to go where you can do play-by-play. And that's what kind of really sold me on the NCN job, was that I was going to be the play-by-play announcer for a team for multiple sports. That was great.
So are you guys okay with taking risks, taking chances? You mentioned it a minute ago, Jake, that, you know, I might have to take a risk. Are you guys okay with that? Because the road is littered with people who, you know, got off of this quest because they weren't willing to take a chance, weren't willing to invest in themselves. You guys okay with that?
Yes, but in this day and age, I understand why people feel that way, because I mean, we all know rent is up, you know, inflation is a deal, gas is expensive, and the media industry doesn't always pay the best. It's you know, you have a boatload of fun, but it doesn't always pay the best, and it can be daunting, I think, to take that kind of move. I'm okay with it, because I think I believe in myself, but you know, with rent and everything as it is, and the minimum pay you sometimes get in this industry, I understand why there's a lot of hesitation from people.
Yeah. Pay is definitely one of the biggest things, because sometimes you're not making a lot of money, but I will say you got to know what you're worth. If there's a job that's trying to lowball you, say, hey, I made this at my last job, I'm going to take a little bit lower than this. And if they really want you, they'll give you what you want. If they say, we'll find someone else who's a lot cheaper and isn't as good as you, sure, we'll do that. To be honest, that's probably the best thing for you. Find another job that's going to be better. And fortunately as well, I've got a fiance. I'm about to get married in November, where she doesn't necessarily have the biggest career passion. She wants to build a family. I do too, but I've also got a strong passion for what I want to do, and she's completely behind me. She says, wherever you find a job, I'm going to come with you. We're going to go wherever you want to go, because we're going to make this happen. We're going to make a dream happen, and that's super exciting to take a little bit of risk sometimes, but it should be well worth it in the end, and I'm looking forward to that.
I will tell you this, and I don't know if you guys had Kevin Kugler in class when we met as a sports broadcasting class, but it's a point that Kevin Kugler made very clearly to the students, and that is that you have to take a chance on yourself. You have to take a risk on yourself. But if you're going to make it somewhere and have a life or a family, you have to get lucky and have the right partner. You really do. And I don't know what the formula for that is. I think it's luck. I got lucky. I don't know what that is. I got really lucky, and a lot of people do, because if you want both, you have to have some sort of peace and tranquility at home, because when you're invested in becoming as good as you can be at the highest levels for the highest amount of pay, you really have to put yourself all in it. And so I hope for you guys that you're lucky enough to have the right partner. Kaylin Debbin in Norfolk, Jake Bartecki in Beatrice. I'm John Schrader. This is Watch the Media. So I'm going to ask you guys this question, and I'm going to filibuster a little bit and let you think about this. When you get up in the morning and you look at that guy in the mirror and you say, Kaylin, Jake, I am really proud of you for what I've done in the last year and a half. I'm so proud of you for.
Man, that's a tough one. I would say I'm so proud of myself for. Jeez, man, John, this dude threw me on the spot here. I would probably have to say sticking to my guns and doing what I love, because there's a lot of times where I look at my friends and they've got jobs who are, you know, they're finance bros basically, and they're my age and they're making 2, 3, 4 times the amount of money I'm making, and they're living life. They've got a, you know, a place in Los Angeles or back home, you know, with by me in Chicago or Omaha, and you know, it seems like they're living the life. They got, you know, all the money they got, looks like it's a great lifestyle. And I'm proud of myself that I didn't necessarily take that route, because I wanted to do something I love. And I've said this multiple times in this interview, but I think I have so much fun in this industry, and I don't necessarily know how, you know, having a job behind a desk would be this much fun. And I'm proud of myself that I have that passion and have kept that passion to keep doing this when there's other routes that seem like they're more fruitful for a young person.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who will take a job. Guys and gals will take a job because of the money. And I'm sure that Jake and I know that we didn't do that. But I think if I had to, if I look up in the mirror and I say one thing to myself, it's probably I'm proud of how far that I've come. You know, hang in there and trying to get better every single day. Whether that's with broadcasting, whether that's in life in general. I like to work out a lot, and you know, losing weight, cutting weight, trying to look good in the mirror. But always just saying, you know, this is how far we've come. I'm proud of that, but I know that we can get better. Always get better.
So what is it you enjoy most about what you do? And I'm also going to ask you, what is the great challenge? But Jake, what do you enjoy most about it? And what is its greatest challenge?
Well, I mean, my favorite thing to do is play-by-play. You know, and I do all sports, including even racing. And I'd say my favorite thing about play-by-play is when you get that just signature call. When there's a big play and you're sitting there in your booth with your headset on and your notes, and you nail that call and you get that little feeling afterwards saying, man, that was a good one. I nailed that call. That's one I'm going to pull for my reel. That feeling is just priceless. It's a great feeling. And I think the biggest challenge about that is exactly that it is hard to put together the words to make a great call. You know, because you got to be focused and you got to stay focused for the entire game, because you never know when something like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think especially with play-by-play, because that is kind of where all the passion drives with me as well, is I think it's so fun to be in that situation, though, and provide these fun calls and a fun broadcast for your listeners, because that's why they listen to you, because they want to hear a good game and they want to have fun while listening. No one's going to listen to a boring person. It's just not going to happen. So you got to have fun, excitement in your voice, but and just in radio in general. I'm going to go back to the hours. Sometimes that's probably the biggest challenge when it comes to actually doing this, is you know you're going to get better because you're doing it a lot, but you're doing it a lot. So being able to manage your time and, again, not get burnt out with young radio professionals.
It's difficult to qualify this, but how much better do you guys think you are in 15 or 16 months of being professionals than you were the day you started?
A lot better. You know, play by play, I felt like I was pretty good even when I started, and that's because I got a lot of experience in 4 years at college. But what I've definitely seen growth in is my news and TV coverage. The writing's gotten better. I'm starting to figure out, you know, what shots work well together when I'm putting the video story together. I'm getting more confident doing standups, I'm just doing stories quicker. Like, a package now only takes me 2 or 3 hours, from, you know, the time I leave the office to do the story, to shoot the story, to edit the story. It doesn't take me very long. I'm starting to be able to kind of bang those out pretty quick. So that's the big thing. And one of the things the news and the packages and the TV has really helped me with, it's helped my play-by-play a ton. And you could make the case that, well, you're just doing play-by-play now, so you're getting more used to it. I don't think so. I think the writing and the way that I've had to formulate words for stories for TV has helped me formulate words and sayings and phrases for when I'm doing play-by-play.
Yeah, I'll say that getting into the field has been so much better, because you have the job, you know, your college experience, those reels help you get the job that you're at now. But now that I'm so far into it, I will never use a college reel to try to get another job, because that is not the same. I'm not the same broadcaster that I was back then. I'm a completely different broadcaster. Even though it's still me, my form has changed so much throughout the last years. I probably won't even use a reel from last football season, from last fall, because I'm looking at the 6 games that I had have ahead of me, and I say I know all of those games are going to be better than the ones that I had last fall, just because I know I'm a different person. And I think being a personality on the radio station has helped so much for me to find my voice and find how I can actually call games now, make it a little bit different. And that's, yeah, I just think that you're always, every single broadcast you have should be better than the last one.
So you've mentioned it a few times, and I believe I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it not just a tiebreaker now, but imperative that young people know how to do radio and television and multimedia and digital, whatever word we're using this week for what it is you do, is it not just a tiebreaker, but imperative to be a longstanding professional that you are really good at all of those things?
I think it helps. I definitely think it helps. I think it helps more in smaller markets to be able to do all that kind of stuff. In a bigger market, I feel like your job could be more saturated. I've sort of seen that, but I feel like in a smaller market where there's less staff, to be able to know how to do digital, TV, radio, that's really imperative because there's just less people around to do all the jobs that need to get done. So, you know, and that's kind of the thing at NCN. There's not a ton of reporters or not a ton of people at each station. And that's kind of why we have all these roles that we do here at NCN. But I think that's crucial. And I think it does. And even in bigger markets, even though, like I said, the job might be more saturated, I got to think they'd say, wow, this guy actually has done a lot in a little bit of time.
Yeah. Again, being multifaceted and being able to do so many different things is just so crucial because you can be great at radio, you can be good at TV, you can be good at social media, but as long as you do all of them, you know, you've got all these abilities to go be great at one of those things. For example, I remember I was riding home from the NBA Awards on Wednesday, and I was talking to our news director here in Norfolk, Eric McKay, and I was saying, you know, I really haven't picked up a camera in a while and shot a pack, and I really want to. And I was like, I know I'm really busy with my current job being in personality and doing sports, but it's like, if there's an opportunity for a story, you know, let me know because I want to go cover it and make sure that I don't lose those skills that I learned to go record a story and cut into a pack and try to tell someone's story on TV. I haven't done it in a little while and I just miss it. I want to do it again. So that's one of the things that you got to make sure to keep all of your talents that you got from college and to keep on working those so they're only going to get better.
You almost answered the question I was going to ask, and that is, if I talk to you in another year or another 15 months, what is it that you'd like to be so much better at in 15 months than you are now? And I don't know if that's the answer to that question, Kalen, that you've already given us, but if so, great. Jake, what would yours be?
Everything. I mean, it's probably not realistic to be incredibly better at every single thing that I do, but I'm sure as hell going to try. If I had to pick one thing though, it'd be my racing play-by-play. You know, NASCAR is what I love and what I want to work in. Play-by-play is what I'm best at. And I do play-by-play at the Beatrice Speedway, but it's something I didn't really start doing play-by-play in really professionally until last year. So I've only been doing it for about a year. And I'm getting better at it even, you know, over the course of a year. I've improved and I was pretty good when I started in it, but that is kind of my dream job. And that is what I hope I can get a lot better at.
Yeah. And I think, you know, learning the camera is a great tool to always have, but if something great that I still always want to succeed at is radio play-by-play pretty much in everything, because if you're a great radio broadcaster, you're going to be a good TV broadcaster. I mean, you just will be, because radio is so much harder to be good at. If you're great at it, you're going to be good at everything else.
So one final thought, and you know, we teach this all the time, is any final thoughts from you guys about what you're doing and what your life is like in this business and as professionals that I might not have asked you?
It's crazy, and it's an industry that, you know, is a lot of fun, but I think one thing people need to understand is it's also an industry that can be stressful. You know, there's a lot of times where you, as Kalen said, you don't want to have this happen, but you can get burnt out, and you got to do your best to avoid that, but also making sure that in this industry, you take time for yourself. Take care of your mental health, take care of your physical health. Don't let work ruin who you are. Because at the end of the day, this is also just fun. This is also fun doing news and sports, especially sports. I mean, news can provide some sad things. And that's part of that that causes a lot of stress is, you know, if you're covering sad things over and over again, I mean, it can drain on your mental. So that's the last thing I think I want to add in here is to take care of yourself in this industry as much as take care of yourself and work hard at taking care of yourself as hard as you work at doing well.
Yeah, that it's an industry that a lot of people want to be in and a lot of people can succeed at. So only focus on yourself. Not focusing on another broadcaster in another market isn't going to make you, I mean, you can listen to them and see how they do things, but worrying about how great they are isn't going to make you any better. The job is just to focus on yourself and become the best broadcaster you can be. And if you know you want to have a place to go, go get there. You can get there if you just work at yourself and focus on it. And like Jake said, don't get burnt out.
Yeah, keep your head down and work hard every day, and good things happen. I believe that. I know it to be true. And I know you guys have had a great 15 or 16 months of a career, the beginning of longstanding. And I appreciate your time and your willingness to share with us today.
And thanks for having us, John. It was fun.
Thank you. Thanks, John.
Two of our outstanding alums at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in the College of Journalism and Mass Communications. Jake Bartecki is the sports director and news and sports reporter in Beatrice, works at KWBE Radio and for News Channel Nebraska. Also for News Channel Nebraska and US 92 in Norfolk, just down the road from my hometown, is Kaylin Debbin. And they've been with us on Watch the Media. And again, thanks so much. I'm John Schrader.